Scripture reading this morning comes from the 23rd Psalm in the 4th verse. That's the 23rd Psalm in the 4th verse. And I am reading from the New American Standard. And it reads, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me."
How many of us prefer sunny days over rainy days? What do you get in a land that has sunshine every day and little rain? Guessed at a desert. In order to get lush vegetation, you need a mix of sun and rain. However, when it comes to our own lives, we really don't want rain. We would love to have a life where each day is perfect and peaceful. But in all truth, can we really appreciate joy and happiness if we never experienced sadness? Last week, we started a short series of lessons on the 23rd Psalm. And there's something about this psalm that touches an awful lot of lives. We can find great comfort in knowing that our Creator is our shepherd. That if we are truthful with ourselves, that God has completely supplied all of our needs. He lets us rest in those green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our souls so that we can walk in those paths of righteousness. But to be truly honest, not every day is green pastures and quiet waters. There are valleys at times that are dark, dark with shadows that bring fear and cause us to question, "Why are you not with me then?" Before we look at verse 4 of the 23rd Psalm, I'd like us to go to an account that is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In all three of these accounts, we have Jesus that had been doing a great amount of teaching with people that had a deep spiritual meaning to them. And after a while, being with so many people, he told his disciples to get into the boat and to go over on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And I like to pick up what happens next in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 37 and 38. The Bible says, "And there a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him, and he said, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Have you yourselves ever been in a situation where you thought you were going to die? If we have, we can kind of get where these men are coming from, because we understand fear. We can understand that when the waves start breaking over the bow and bringing water into the boat, that there is a real chance they're going to die. I think what we cannot grasp is how Jesus, during this time, can be asleep. And if we put ourselves in one of those disciples' feet, we probably would have reacted in much the same way. And we may have been running around the boat trying to find a bucket to start to bail some water. But that's not what happened. Verse 39, it says, "And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.'" Hear that? Peace, be still. Friends, that's not life. Things don't happen like that to us, does it? In verse 40 and 41, he says to them, he said, "Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with great fear, and they said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now it's time to make this a little personal. We don't always believe that God is bigger than the wind and the waves in our lives. We might tell ourselves that He is, but there are times, and maybe even a lot of times, when our faith doesn't follow what our head knows. This is what brings us to David, the 23rd Psalm, where he shares life with us. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David is kind of bringing up his past to us. And while he had spoken in verses 2 and 3 of the Lord in the third person, it is here that he switches to a second person perspective. The pronoun "he" in those two verses now become "you." There's no way of knowing what was going through David's mind the time that he wrote this. We're not given any of that information whatsoever. But we do know that it was probably during one of those very dark times in his life. Maybe it was when Saul had been searching far and wide to kill him. Maybe it was even in one of those attempts where Saul tried to kill him. Or maybe he was just facing overwhelming odds, and we just have no idea. But it does reflect on a time when blackness was overtaking his life. That phrase, "a shadow of death," appears 10 times in the book of Job. This is a time when a person is alive, but feels like death is right there with them. Time when they are in a very dark place. This phrase is not about a physical death, but it is generally associated with this deep darkness that floods us, but it is only a shadow. And it is in that darkness where David declares, "I will fear no evil." In this sense, evil means danger or harm or injury. But David, even in those dark times, he doesn't fear evil things happening to him. And maybe that's the kind of faith that we want. That's the kind of faith that we need. You know, too often we find ourselves and see ourselves trying to wake up Jesus in our prayers, saying, Lord, don't you care that I am perishing? But David here, he tells us why he did not fear the valley of the shadow of death. He says, your rod and your staff comforts me. The rod was a club that was used to drive animals away that were threatening the lives and the herd of the sheep. And the staff was the shepherd's crook. They used those to manage and sometimes even catch the sheep, but they would also use it as a weapon if necessary. The point that David makes here is that he feels secure from those evil things because the shepherd can beat off all the enemies. You know, it's kind of like saying that a small child, they see their dad as bigger than the boogeyman. It's the person who sees the wisdom of the older person that offers the right advice on how to handle a difficult situation. It's us seeing God as God who is able to hold on to us no matter what in all creation is thrown at us. You know, Paul, he asked the questions in Romans chapter 8. In verse 35, Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And that is really the real question. What is there that can destroy our relationship with the shepherd? Paul gives us the answer in verses 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, not a single thing in this life can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Even if we turned our back on God and we curse God, and we walk away from Him, God still loves us. God still wants us back, and until we take our very last breath, He will never stop loving us. Ever. We might think that God doesn't love us anymore because maybe of what we've done or what we said, but He never stops. Fear becomes overwhelming when we take our eyes off of the Lord. Peter did this in Matthew chapter 14. Peter was with the disciples. They were out again on the Sea of Galilee. I think if they were so fearful, they might not have wanted to be fishermen in the first place. But they were. But they were all out in the boat in this storm. And they're all looking out and there's this figure coming towards them. They all saw it and they were all fearful. And Jesus told them, fear not, it is I. And in verses 28 through 31, and Peter answered him, he said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter, he got out of the boat, he walked on the water, and he came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand, and he took hold of him, and he said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why do we doubt? Why do we become so fearful? Why do we allow life to make us shake in our boots? Because all too often we take our eyes off of Christ and off of God. We try to walk that path on our own. God is leading us in the paths of righteousness. And yet we sometimes take our eyes off of Him. You know, Jesus, when He was teaching His disciples how to pray, He ended with a line that we oftentimes find ourselves saying in dark times in Matthew 6 and verse 13, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We believe that. We believe that our God leads us out of temptation. You know, we've said over and over that God always allows us a way out. And you know, a lot of times we're finding and following that way out, but all of a sudden the little kid in us rears up and we come across the muddy puddle and we want to jump in it. We get a little dirty sometimes. He's leading us from temptation, but sometimes we do get our feet dirty. Sometimes we do fall into those things. We are growing, aren't we? Our faith is getting stronger, isn't it? We have less fear in our lives than when we started our Christian walk, don't we? For many of us, we do. But we still have valleys and shadows. Hopefully now we have come to trust and to know our shepherd, to trust in His rod and His staff. They really do comfort us if we sit down and think about it for just a moment. Throughout the century, so many people have found peace in those words that David wrote 3,000 years ago. And I truly hope that we can find peace in them too. When we read our Bibles, when we study these things, the most important thing in all of our studies is not just to know what it says, but to do what it says. And we can only increase our trust in God when we see what the benefits of His Word does in our lives when we follow it. I think that last great day, I think there is going to be such a fear among this world because there will be found so many people who are not heirs to the promise. Those who did not truly obey the gospel. Those who followed their whole lives on the traditions of their forefathers and their families. Who believed the words that everyone else had said and never examined the words for its complete truth. You will not be an heir to the promise of God if you've not obeyed the gospel. And then you need to ask yourself, who is your shepherd? Who will protect you each and every day when you go into those valleys and are surrounded by the shadows? Who will protect you from the shadow of death? This morning, that can change. Through obedience to the gospel, through repentance and confession, through and being washed in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins, you will have that shepherd who will be with you in those shadows. And if you've already been through that, and the Lord is your shepherd, but you still are facing shadows that are great, will you not let us and allow us to walk with you through that valley? To pray for you, to help you in any way that we can. And if we can assist anyone in securing the love of Christ, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?